My safe word is Quetzal. Let's go.
Survey says you're gay.
And I can keep going.
69. Nice.
Which is... whacks it all off, Mr. Miyagi. I'm biting a dick off in the morning.
Japanese Wakanda.
When I was in the third grade, I thought that I was gay. Straight people are illiterate, so
some people are actually literate. And once again, speaking of Shomuna, let's do an episode.
Welcome to the Iced Tea Podcast, the podcast where we spill the tea on figure skating. My name is Megan.
I am Netta, and I'm drinking a watermelon-flavored Bacardi Breezer. Hi. They don't have them in the US, and I've missed them dearly. There's like equivalents, but there's no Bacardi Breezers, and Bacardi Breezers are like the best. Also, it's officially summer in my mind since I'm drinking that.
Yeah, we are not sponsored by Bacardi Breezers, but if you want to buy the phrase, it's officially summer in my mind, let us know at icedteapod@gmail.com. Today, we are going to wrap up our coverage on the World Championships of Figure Skating 2019, and we're going to talk about men, which is my favorite activity, but it's no secret that I kind of care about the men more than the women, which I didn't realize until I had to, like, hear myself talk about them every week as I edit these episodes. Well, we were talking about this, I want to say yesterday, about the sort of, like, spectrum of femininity to masculinity in men's figure skating and how they express themselves and their, like, quality of movement. And I think I generally always enjoy... seeing men do something that's a little campy and a little outside of the traditional box of masculinity, which, like, figure skating is very much that for men. Whereas for women, it's, like, really, really in that box of, yeah, like, what is traditional femininity. And that, for me, is always just, like, a little less interesting.
Yeah, I feel like it's interesting that there is even a conversation about being precious about masculinity within figure skating, because figure skating is already... you know, I don't want to say, like, quote-unquote a girly sport, but, you know, boys at the rink are usually in hockey gear and not skating overall. So already, you know, this choice to be lyrical and, in a way, vulnerable and, you know, skating to ballet pieces or something is already kind of subverting this idea of what, like, masculine athleticism should look like. Which I think is very interesting. And even then, there's a massive spectrum within, like, the 21 names I'm looking at right now.
Yeah, if you have a problem with any male skater being too feminine, watch any other sport. I think this is a funny place to bring up that little interview with Kevin Imaz when he said that when he was little, he was trying to tell his parents he wanted to do figure skating. And he was like, I want to do... I'm picturing him with, like, a little tiny, like, baguette and, like, a little mustache. Like, I want to do... the hockey for girls. Not a French accent. I literally speak French and I can't do a French accent. He said, I want to do hockey for girls.
It's so cute because it's one of those, like, let's meet so-and-so interviews that the ISU did. You should go read it because his interview is actually really precious. But he does say that because apparently his family used to go and, like, watch a lot of hockey games. So he was like, oh, I want to do that. I want to be on skates. And then he went to hockey practice and he was like, this is not it. And then he figured out he wanted to do hockey for girls, which is very cute and very much a thing like a five-year-old would say. But I appreciate it and I appreciate him. And he finished 11th at Worlds, so that's great for him.
So we will get to him in 4 hours. Let's start from the beginning.
Where are we starting?
I think we're going to start at the only logical place, which is the very deepest, like, happiest part of my heart, which belongs to Denis Vasiliev.
I adore him. We know I do. He's such a chaotic babe. And he placed 21st. So that's fine.
You know, I was thinking again about how well he did last season.
Yeah.
And how bad he did this season comparatively. Like, not to be a dick, but, like, let's just go ahead and say it. Comparatively not as good. Why?
Because Champéry needs a fucking jump coach.
But why was he good last year? Like, what happened to him? Did he grow? He is kind of growing, right?
Yeah, I don't know. His body type has been changing. He's kind of, like, past, like, first bounds of puberty, but people...
He's getting cuter, so I assume that maybe the more handsome you get, the worse you get at skating. No, that can't be true. Look at who's in the top, you know, whatever.
I could not tell you. I think... with all of my adoration, admiration, respect for Stéphane Lambiel, I'm so desperate for him to find a jump coach, because there's only so much we can do with, like, pure campy chaos, and it's getting out of hand, and I need him to do better by himself and his students.
And his spin babies.
And his spin babies, because they're all beautiful spinners. Unless Javi Fernandez doesn't think they are. But, you know, it's fine. Yeah, I just think he needs more technical work, because he is kind of, he's kind of up there with, like, Keegan Messing and Michael Calada, in that he is good when he's good, but it's full chaos when it doesn't happen. So I need consistency. I don't know how that's going to happen, but
yeah,
that's where we're at. And in 19th place, we have Chen Huan Cha, who is not...
Oh, Chen Huan! Oh, it's so sad. His trajectory this season was, like, literally, like, just a downward sloping line. He just got pooped out a little bit, you know?
He is so tired.
The Korean Federation really, really sends their newer kids out a lot. And I think, is it a money thing? Like, I know there's, like, a valid reason they do it. I get it. It just sucks.
I feel tired. Like, it's, like, weird athletic hazing. It's like, whoa, you're in the big leagues now, and you gotta get used to this, and this is what big athletes do. Except he's exhausted, and it showed, and I'm sad, because he's so great, and I just wanted to see, especially his free skate, I just wanted to see it, like, clean and beautiful for, like, the last time. And it didn't happen, because he's tired.
I was a little bit like Romeo after he drank the poison. I just want him to live up to this bright future that he's, like, seemed he was going to have after all of his bronzes. I was going to say in the first semester. But, like, I kind of do think it's, like, a semester season, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's a similar length.
I'll tell you why. It's because the Grand Prix final happens around Christmas time. So it feels like the end of first semester, and then you come back in the new year for the second half of it.
Finals.
Yeah.
And then nationals are, like, the assignment you do when you go home to your home country over break.
Yeah, that's so real.
To see what classes you're going to place into for second.
That's so funny, and it's so real. We're academics. So anyway, yeah, I'm
Professor Lambiel.
I deeply need to unhear this.
Principal Orser. No.
In which Brian Orser, as, like, an old queer man, is Dumbledore. I trust the cricket club to reason with the Korean Federation and let Chen Huan, like, rest a little bit before he decides what he's doing next season, like, programs wise and everything. Speaking of people I don't trust, but someone I need to give a shout out to because he's officially retired as of right now, is Alexander Majorov from Sweden. I hate everything he represents as stylistic choices this season, but I will say it was kind of bittersweet watching him skate his free skate, because I was like, oh my god, he's done. Like, this is it. And that's always going to get to me, like, regardless of how much I care about a person. That said, we never have to see a white man skate a Cuban Pete ever again. So, in a reversible sequin tie.
Maybe he's reversing all the sequins in heaven. Even though he's not dead, he's alive.
He's just retired.
Good for him. I hope he does ice shows.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't pay money to see.
He's very, very fun to watch. He does, like, theater on ice. So, do ice shows, do fun things. Don't do Cuban Pete.
So, right next to each other, where all best bros should always be, are Nam Nguyen and Keegan Messing.
Who are literally, like, less than 0.30 points, like, parts of a point apart from each other. But they're bros, bro. They're a unit.
They're an absolute unit.
The immortal words of, spoiler alert, 2-time world champion Nathan Chen. What an absolute unit. Yes, so Nam and Keegan both did fine. They didn't do great.
Yeah, I've seen them do better.
I've seen both of them do better.
It's obvious from the numbers, but what I will say is that Nam did a really cute thing where he went to unbutton his shirt and then he was like, nah, and he, like, incorporated it into the performance of his La La Land, because as we all remember, at Four Continents, he accidentally unbuttoned too much of his shirt.
He did.
And then this time he made it, like, he went to and then he couldn't, but the way he acted it was like,
my character is so dejected, he can't even work up the nerve to unbutton his shirt. It was so cute. And then at the end, in, like, his final choreographic sequence or whatever, he did unbutton it, and it was, like, he made, like, a narrative, like, a meta-narrative out of it, and it was, like, next level. I was, like, so impressed.
He was so like, proud of it as well, because I was watching, it was Brechtian. Oh, my God, we went to theater school. It was very Brechtian, because he knew we were watching for it. Like, everyone was kind of, like, waiting to see if the mishap was going to go down again. And after that, he was doing an Instagram live, because he does a lot of Instagram lives. And someone asked him about it, and he was like, oh, yeah, no, I didn't lose any buttons this time. And then he was like, oh, but I did at the end. He was, like, so proud of himself. I feel like he had this planned for, like, all of the weeks between Four Continents and Worlds, just, like, kind of getting ready to, like, pull this.
I love him. I watched Worlds with my mom. Or, like, I rewatched it with my mom eventually. And Nam was her favorite in terms of, like, cuteness. And in her words, she went, oh, he's a doll.
He truly is. He's so sweet.
And I told him that. I told him on one of his Instagram lives. I was like, Nam, my mom thought you were the cutest of all the boy skaters. And he got really embarrassed and smiled really big. And the most blessed thing happened, which was that at that exact moment, my phone froze, like the feed froze. And so I got an extra like 3 seconds of that lovely smile.
Aww.
That was the result of my mom secondhand complimenting him.
In the same Instagram live, there was a debate in like the little comments about whether or not it's ever too late to start figure skating, and people were kind of like wondering and asking him about it, and just in the comments, just replying to the other people, I was like, hey, I'm 25 and I just started a couple months back, and he read it out, and then he was like, good on you for skating, blah blah blah, that's awesome, that's great. And it was so sweet, and I was like, thank you, Nam. I'm so motivated right now. So I feel like every time I lace on my boots, it's a little bit for Nam Nguyen, and I hope he knows that.
Moving on to my husband, Keiji Tanaka.
We didn't say shit about Keegan, but he's just kind of up there as well. Inconsistent, I don't feel beautiful. Like
he did anything that yeah. I haven't seen him done before.
God, I hope he rests and then.
He needs new programs, I think.
Desperately. He's been doing those. Like, he's been kind of cycling programs out and doing like something for like 2 seasons and then like changing one of his programs but like keeping the other one.
Yeah, let's start fresh, Keegs. You're about to get married. Just
anything else, do like Book of Mormon, I don't know, do anything else. Okay, let's talk about your husband.
Oh my god, my husband Keiji Tanaka. Yeah, you know, he kind of went out and did what he does, which is like skate beautifully and then like pop just enough of his jumps to end up outside of where he could be, which is sad, but you know, there weren't any like major falls or like crazy awful moments.
Yeah,
he's a little popcorn king, you know? God bless him. But we did get to see the JoJo exhibition again, which we will talk about when we talk about the gala.
Yeah,
but yeah, Keiji's great. I showed my mom Keiji too, and I was like, this is your future son-in-law, like, just so you know, like, you'll have things to talk about at the wedding now, like, you can talk about the programs he did.
How does your mom feel about that?
She thought he was really handsome and a really good skater, and she was like,
she was correct.
Then she goes, is he straight? And I'm like, what? I'm never gonna meet him. It doesn't matter. Like, that's not the thing that's keeping us apart.
But what if it were? What if it were? You never know. Like, you skate now. Maybe he's gonna, I don't know, show up. There's only so many ranks in the world. I don't know.
My hopes and dreams for KG are the following.
Yes.
I want him to get a new short, which I think he will because he's been doing the same one for like 5 ever. I want him to stop popping his jumps.
It's also kind of weird because looking at this list up till now, like the 7-ish people we've talked about, it's honestly all about consistency. Every single one of those people could have placed like 5 spots ahead of where they ended up just because of consistency. I have no idea what those people have to do like over the summer to fix that. But I feel like that's my general note. That's just my opinion. And what do I know? I only jump singles.
I only jump men. Nope. Okay.
Consensually.
They love it. Okay.
Morrissey Kvitalashvili from Georgia is 13th.
Morrissey.
I adore him. He's so sweet. I didn't see like anything I haven't seen from him before.
No,
I don't
he
think.
Did his Mozart thing, and he yeah. does,
I do love that program so deeply. Anytime that comes on my playlist, I kind of go off a little bit. I would like him to do something else next season, though.
I'm over it. I don't know, man. I don't know what it would take for me to get super on board with Morrissey, but
I don't know.
Like,
I think he's charming. He's charming. He's cute.
He's all right for me, dog, in the words of Randy Jackson.
Yeah, he's not my favorite. And speaking of people who I've grown to be slightly charmed by, but I'm still kind of on the fence about. Alexander Samarin ended up 12th. His name is Alexander Samarin. And there's a million things he hasn't done, and one of them is placed in the top 10 at Worlds. I'm so sorry. Honestly, like I said last time, I think it's just his face that... It's not even I don't like it. It's just, like, it distresses me a little bit. And I think it's just his eyebrows. And I'm so sorry, because he looks like a nice person, and he looks like he has a lot of friends from, like, Team Russia and other people.
What if he and Alina Zagitova went to go get their eyebrows done together and, like, just got them slightly microbladed so that they weren't scared all the time?
That would be... Honestly, that would change so many things. Also, a side note on eyebrows. Everyone needs to invest in darker brow product. I mean, especially the Japanese ladies and Lisa Tuktomysheva need to just buy, like, the ash brown Anastasia Beverly Hills dip brow pomade because it doesn't match their hair. And your eyebrows should always be darker than your hair. And all of theirs are lighter, and it freaks me out. None of this is about Alexander Samarin. About Alexander Samarin, I am grateful that I got to see his short one more time, just because I love that song so deeply, as we know from many, many, many episodes. And also, Greatest Showman. I was gonna say we never have to see it again, but we do. So I can't even say that yet, so this is all I can say. None of this is about Alexander Samarin.
I know, we can't, it's like we can't, I'm so sorry, I'm yawning. We can't make ourselves talk about him anymore.
So let's not, in 11th place we have Kevin Amaz, who we already talked about because he's beautiful. He's incredible.
Wow. Horns program, it just keeps getting better and better. And you know what I love is that we have loved Kevin Amaz pretty, like, we were pretty early adopters, and then over the past couple of months, people are kind of like, oh, Kevin Amaz, oh, is he, like, the surprise of the season? Is he, like, the new up-and-comer?
And I'm like, I've been telling you! Yeah, it's exciting, like, especially after the short on Twitter and stuff, there were people who were like, I've never paid attention to him before, where did he come from? And I'm like, yeah, welcome to the fucking party, he's great.
He came from France, bitch.
France?
France.
This is just a Hamilton references podcast. This is a great spot for him to be. I've been kind of lamenting everyone that we've talked about so far because I feel like most of them could have done better. With him, I'm like, this is great. Like, no one expected this from him at the beginning of the season. He's been doing so well. His trajectory is so great. And I feel like he's really finding his brand and, like, what works for him, both stylistically and, like, technically and with music selection. So I'm so excited to see what he does next season.
Like, even, like, off the ice, he's so, like, quirky and weird and, like,
he is.
I don't know, just his social media presence, is like, he's got a really strange sense of humor. Like,
I really enjoy it. He had, like, a whole of, he went out and purchased, like, a shit ton of Mike Wazowski merch in Japan. He had, like, a full bedspread of just, like, Mike Wazowski merch. And he was like, oh my god, Japan, I love you. Because I guess he could find all of it there. I don't know. It was so weird. I love him so much. And he's also friends with Jackie Wong, so I like Stan. Also, I learned in his ISU interview that him and Maya Berenice Meite live with the same foster family in Florida. And that's like the cutest thing.
Oh, I want to live in their foster family. They should have a TV show.
Keeping up with the Team France. I know I've said it about Jimmy Ma before, but I would not be mad at him doing, like, Panic at the Disco, like, This Is Gospel, or, like, Don't Threaten Me with a Good Time or something.
Yeah.
I feel like he has that vibe, like, this, like, chaotic Brandon Urie kind of fantasy. I don't know. Or, like, those are just
weird, like, French rap from, like, 2000.
Yes! Oh my god. He can do, like, a full, like, Stromae or something.
Oh my god.
Also, we get to see him again, because he's doing World Team Trophy, so...
I love that.
So we're not even done. I'm so happy. Speaking of people who are doing World Team Trophy, in 10th place, we have Andrei Lazukin from Russia. And I want to remind you, he was not even supposed to be at Worlds.
He doesn't even go here.
But he did so well. I'm low-key, like, very proud of him.
He did great. Again, he wasn't even supposed to be here. And then this is happening once again. Spoiler alert. He wasn't even supposed to go to World Team Trophy. And now he's going because Mihail Kolyada, as he says on Instagram, has exacerbation of old diseases.
I love Misha's social media. We can get to that and talk about that when we get to him or to social media. But I hope to God that he has someone who like translates his like his posts from Russian to English for him, because they're always so overdramatic. It's so great, like full Chekhov fantasy.
I love it. But Andre has been like the Forrest Gump of this season, where like weird things just keep happening around him and he's just there and it like works out.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I am low-key like very, very proud of him and very excited, because he's been having like a great second half of his season, just kind of by circumstance. And I think this is a good place for him to be going into the offseason and going into next season with the knowledge that he can step up to the challenge where he needs to. And maybe that can, like, propel him forward to, you know, work harder at nationals or at Grand Prix events or, like, whatever, so that he doesn't need to be first alternate. In ninth place overall, but second in the fucking short program, is my lawfully wedded husband, the light of my life, the only person I've ever cared about. It's Jason Brown.
Thanks.
I love you, but you're not Jason Brown. No, I'm exaggerating. I care about a lot of people, but Jason is very much one of them. And I'm so incredibly proud of him. I don't even know where to begin.
That short program, I mean, look, so many things had to happen in the short for him to end up getting the silver small medal, but like, to finish, look, he finished ahead of Yuzuru Hanyu, for fucking fuck's sake.
And the kicker here is that Yuzu got higher PCS, and because of, spoiler alert, that Quad Sal that didn't happen for Yuzu, Jason had higher technical element scores, which landed him ahead of him.
Ain't that a bitch?
Which is, love is very much that bitch.
Love really is that bitch.
Also, I will say, his free skate was also incredible. He did not land the quad, which is fine. We have all summer. But the rest of it was gorgeous. Like,
yeah,
the rest of it was so beautiful. It is just because he was outperformed technically. But that's fine, because he will always have that short, and that short is so immediately iconic. People have been talking about it in interviews and stuff. He's been talking about the quad. He's been talking about how he wants a second quad. And he seems very much in a good headspace to get there, because he has a world's small silver medal in his back pocket, like, propelling him forward. I'm so proud of him. So great.
And it's a small medal, so it does fit in his back pocket. It's perfect.
Michał Brzyna.
Oh my god! I love that we can finally talk about him at a time that we're, like, officially sanctioned to, and not just shoehorning him into every episode.
I got asked at my rank today what my deal was with him, because I keep mentioning him. And I was like, I honestly do not even know why I love him so much, but
it's
I do.
It's not on purpose. It just keeps happening. It's just that we cannot settle for less, ever.
Yes, never settle for less. Plus five. Michał Brzyna ended up eighth. I think he overall skated really, really well. And I was so happy to see him not have to apologize to Rafael for once.
Yeah, Jackie Wong called it the Brezna-sance, and it was like chef's kiss. Amazing pun. And I really, really, really hope that it is truly a Brezna-sance and he doesn't retire, because I would absolutely be heartbroken.
I would throw up in real life if he retired. And I know he will eventually, and probably soon, and that's fine, because he has a brand to take care of and a beautiful wife and I'm sure many things to do, but
this is not my beautiful house.
But I watched Worlds with the BSP commentary, but then I was rewatching with the NBC commentary because I'm a glutton for punishment and because I was curious to see what they would say. And Johnny was saying during the free skate that he used to train with Michał, I think in Jersey, like a while back. And he says he was always impressed by Michal's like technical skill, and he would always show up, he would always do the work. But, and this is Johnny's words and not mine, because I don't know Michał, and Johnny's not objective, but he was saying that Michał would always, like, show up, do the work, and not put, like, any personal emotion, any personal stakes in, and it was all very, like, technical and kind of going through the motions. And Johnny's theory was that all of that has changed since the last Olympics, and he's finally, like, showing up, and it finally means something, and it's about, like, performance and stakes. And with that, and with how good he did, and with how the Czech Republic has two spots for Worlds for next year, and they don't have two more skaters, I hope he doesn't retire, just out of, you know, for my personal sake. And also because they do have two spots, and who the fuck else?
They could put Alyshka in a pant.
Alyshka in full drag, just skating with the boys. I would watch it. I would watch it. Too. But having said that, Mihao, please just, there's so much ACDC out there. Just find another song, do something else, one more season.
Dirty Deeds, come on, man.
I don't have a segue. Because we're going to end up cutting half of this, I do want it on record that I just got distracted because Megan made me look at Mariah Bell. Okay. Speaking of Lakewood, I guess we gotta stop saying Lakewood because they moved.
Oh, yeah. What are they called now?
I don't fucking know, but they have a new rink. And I don't know what it is. And it looks great. They have, like, purple lights.
I don't know. They should call it Rafghanistan.
I hate that, but it's good.
I know. It's problematic for it's, some reason. I don't know.
I can't come up with a better pun. No,
this is better. This is better. This is better. They should call it the Rafeteria.
Yeah, you know what? Maybe we'll call it that because it's full of snacks.
Okay. Oh my God! Yes, you made it work. Next up, we have Matteo Rizzo.
From Italy, who is a babe. Again, I mean, we've said it before, but similarly to Kevin, he's had such a great trajectory this season, and it's super exciting. He was fifth in the short program.
Yeah, fifth in the short. Like, he's just been going up and up and up, which is great. He and Kevin are kind of being shouted out as like, ooh, where did they come from? We weren't expecting them.
Like little European babes. His quad tilt didn't happen in the free skate, and he could have placed even higher. Because overall, he skated so well, and his queen program, as we know, is fantastic. He just kind of fell flat on his butt on his quad tilt. So that didn't happen. The rest of it was...
How many points do we think he lost on that?
Assuming he did that jump with... It's a base value of 9.5. He would have just switched with Misha. Probably, I think. With, like, a GOE of 0. But if he had gotten, like, a GOE of, like, 3, he would have been above Boyang. He would have been 5th. Oh, and his triple axel, like, his GOE was, like... around -1 or 0. So if his first two jumps had gone slightly better, he could be like top 4, top 5.
That's wild. So additionally, what I'm hearing is Matteo switching with Misha. Matteo potentially topping Boyang.
Yeah.
Maybe even switching with Shoma. I mean, that's all.
Fascinating theories. Concept. Fascinating theories. All of those in any context. Yes, no, but it's really... I low-key hope he's not doing all of this math in his head, because he should be very, very proud of what this season looked like for him.
It's okay. They don't have math in Italy.
I'm sure they don't. If Call Me By Your Name has taught me one thing, is that they only have, like, pianos and peaches in Italy.
Yeah, well, that's why it's so impressive that Galileo did what he did, because he didn't have numbers.
But that was not contemporary Italy, so maybe he was, like, in a part of what's now Italy that... like, had
You're
numbers.
You're so right. The math got burned up in Pompeii.
Yeah, that sounds about right. But yeah, Matteo ends up 7th. There's 2 spots for Italy at Worlds next year, which means we get to see Daniel Grassel, which is fantastic. And
Daniel Grassel. Any happy 17th birthday,
happy 17th
Daniel.
Birthday, Daniel.
Yesterday, I think.
Yeah, it was like 2 days ago. Yeah.
Do you have Snuffleupagus in Bulgaria?
We do not.
So do you know what I'm talking about?
Vaguely. Just from, like... culture.
Like, at what point in your life did you learn what a snuffleupagus was?
I would assume, like, I don't know, like, just being on the internet, like, my teen, like, late teens.
So something you might not know about it is that it's not, real. It's, like, no, I know, like, even, no, even in the context of Sesame Street, like, only Big Bird can see it. Did
yeah.
you know that?
I did not. I did watch, like, Sesame Street when I was, like, very, very young. We got it, like, translated and, like, dubbed with, like, other cultural references, but
like
I think...
every country, Sesame Street is different.
But I think after that, I think that happened, like, after I'd grown out of it, and then they stopped airing like the dubbed version, so it kind of like got lost for me in my.
Oh, now it's only on HBO, so thanks capitalism.
Oh, that's so sad.
Speaking of alternatives to capitalism, let's move over to Russia. And so Mikhail Kalyada, sixth place for him. Good job.
Guess what? We got a clean Carmen.
Oh, we sure fucking did. And the Twilight Zone twist on that is that Muse was not so...
Muse was? He's just incapable of giving us two good programs, I think.
Yeah, well, maybe his sinuses were getting
gapped. Yeah, honestly, your sinuses mess with, like, your balance and everything. So that's not even a joke. It's probably something that, like, gets in the way of his movement. Like, for real.
And also... I did have a sinus infection, like, last month, and goddamn, nothing makes you more tired than that shit.
Oh, no, it's horrible. It hurts, and it's hard to breathe, and everything's bad, and I cannot imagine doing what he did at Worlds.
I couldn't feel, like, my whole face. It was like a fucking Weekend song. It was awful.
Oh, God. Yeah, but I will take the bad short... He was 10th in the short, for the record. I will take that... in exchange for the beautiful Carmen we finally got, because I've been waiting. And it was still not great. He got, like, negative GOE on his quad tail, and that's fine. I truly don't give a shit, because from, like, a personal perspective of just a spectator who is not a technical panel, it looked good. He did not skate off with a broken wrist, and that's all I can ask for. And we get to end his season on that note. Because he's not doing World Team Trophy, so now I can have this clean Carmen forever.
It's bittersweet, because he was originally assigned to World Team Trophy, and there was, like, a minute where we thought he was going, and we were all kind of like, oh, like, it sucks that we have to then go through this whole journey again. Like, what are we going to see? Are we going to end on clean Carmen? Are we going to get another one? And now it's like, no. We know. We know where we're ending. It's fine. He'll go. He'll get all the weird fluids drained from his head. The old diseases will be unexacerbated. And the old diseases will be ameliorated, and then he can go work on some new choreographical endeavors.
Wow, that was so beautiful. But yeah, I just hope he's okay. He's been posting, you know, sad selfies with his weird nose cubes. At this point, it's just about, like, recovery for him, and then he can start thinking about doing something that's not a fucking Carmen. Speaking of men doing good, speaking of men who had the exact same trajectory as Misha... Boyang Jin ends up 5th, and here's a fun fact. He was right above Misha in the short. He was 9th, and then he was 5th above Misha, who was 6th in the free, so he ends up a spot above him. They literally had, like, the same journey, which
another
is...
Another absolute unit. I like the way he spins with his head, like, fully back and, like, eyes to the stars. It makes me worry that his head's gonna fully twist off his neck and shoot into the crowd.
You know, that's called a headless spin, right? That's, like, literally... I'm not sure if it's, like, a technical name, but that's, like...
No, I know it's called a headless spin when it's a spin, but I don't... This is his jump position, like, when he jumps.
I don't even know if...
Did I say spin or did I say
you
jump?
You said spin.
Well... Butter my biscuit. I'm, like, getting pissy over shit.
Just look at this.
I don't mean what I said. You should know that. No, I like when he jumps and his head snaps back, and it makes me feel like, you know, when it, like, if you've ever held a newborn baby and, like,
yeah,
you have to hold their head because otherwise it's going to snap back. Like, yeah, Boyang Jin is baby.
All of this is deeply correct. He did so well. Similarly to Misha and some other people we already talked about, he had, like, just enough technical missteps that it just didn't happen, which is sad. And it was just his quad lutz and his short program just didn't happen. And then he under-rotated... the quad toe and his combo and his free, and it was honestly just, like, a bunch of math just didn't work out. And then his second quad toe was not good as well.
The important thing is that he posted on social media that he felt like he, like, beat himself, and not in a masturbation way, in a psychological, like, he felt like he's come out of his depression and he feels like his old self now, and that he's overcome the block that he had. And so in the sense of like his own personal arc, this season has been a success for him. And I'm so happy to hear that because good Lord, were we pressed about him at the beginning.
Yeah, I was very around Christmas time, around the Grand Prix final. I was very, very worried about him because he didn't seem like himself. And he was kind of, you know, thinly veiled, not quite open, but kind of low key. Letting people know that he was not in a good place, which is valid and it happens to the best of us. But I'm so happy he's past that now, and I'm so happy he's open about that.
You know what's really so, man, is like really facing and conquering your personal demons.
He ain't fail. He's
so man.
I became a smile.
So vulnerable.
Yeah, it is. I became a smile.
So smooth.
Oh, the language we've developed around this season.
It's like a Gillette ad. It's all throw razors in the toilet because he just said that men should be vulnerable.
This is great. I'm excited for him. I hope he keeps taking care of himself because whatever he's done is working for him. Okay, oh my god, we fully forgot that Kevin Amos got hurt.
Wait, he got hurt?
We forgot that Kevin cut his hand.
Oh, he did! And he had to go feed Alexei Pachenko!
I have nothing to say about it. I just hope he's okay.
I don't even know if I'll go back and put it in, but like we just remembered that Kevin Imaz cut his hand open at the end of his
free skate.
And then all we could think about was how it would be funny if he went to go feed Alexei Pachenko, who was in full vampire cosplay.
It was so dramatic. I hope he's fine.
Then next season he could skate to There Will Be Blood.
Bleeding Love. He just does full Bleeding Love. Because masculinity is performative, and who's to say he can't skate to a girl song? I don't know. We're kind of procrastinating because we got to talk about Shoma, and it kind of breaks my heart to talk about Shoma in fourth. I'm just going to say that.
Shoma off the podium, it just feels wrong.
I know. Going into this, most of my predictions had him at the top of this podium, like all of my math.
Yeah, it was just a lot of fumbled jumps.
I think the pressure of knowing that he could either win it or end up where he ended up got to him, honestly, because he had like a shaky short, which, you know, his first jump was under rotated and then he did fine with the rest of it, and then I think the pressure of, you know, I have to come back, this has to be good enough for the podium in the free, got to him, and then the first two jumps just did not happen.
Yeah, one of them he like straight up fell.
He goes in so high stakes and it's so like in his face, and you can see that he's like fighting for it, and at the time I was like, oh baby, this is not going the way you want it to go. And then I watched it again and I was like, if anyone else in the world did this, I would be like so impressed with them. He's only below, like, three other people, and one of them is, like, by circumstance.
You're gonna say bisexual! He's only below three other people, and one of them is bisexual. So, barely counts, really.
He's still fourth in the fucking world.
Yeah, well, as we said, neither the men's or ladies, four continents, or European champions... were on the podium.
Yeah, it was bizarre, but it has happened before, because we wondered, like, when was the last time it happened? It was actually, like, last year. So, in conclusion, numbers don't mean anything. Yeah. Until they do, and we're gonna get there. But yeah, I encourage anyone who, if you're listening to this and you only watched Worlds once, or you're avoiding rewatching Shoma because you feel like it's gonna be traumatic, I encourage you to go back and just watch his free skate again, because the jumps are not there, the first two jumps are not there, but he skates so beautifully still, and he fights for it, and it's not as bad as you remember it. I promise it's not.
And if you're feeling thirsty, his short program, technically not his best, but the performance
of it... Oh my god, it was so good.
He went somewhere new, and he did this little move where he was totally feeling himself, and he kind of did like a come hither finger and licked his lips at the same time. And I think Netta and I were on voice chat.
Yeah, we were.
Yeah, what exactly did I do? I feel like it was...
I could not describe that in a way that would be fine on this podcast.
Yeah, no, same. I don't know. It was bad. So watch that.
Yeah, no. That moment. I wonder if he can do some soul searching on the off season and find out how to rein this new energy in and combine it with the technical elements, because then he would be dangerous.
It felt a little bit like when Disney stars are like, I'm not a kid anymore, I'm going to be sexy. Coming out like, of his Hannah Montana face.
He like drops like an edgy pop song about drugs or something. I don't know.
I mean, he already is wearing his old wig like Hannah Montana.
Oh boy, what is up with that wig? We're going to get there at some point. Yeah, all I can say is that I know from past experience with his interviews and press conferences that he's very, very, very hard on himself. But I hope that he's had some time to reflect and to know and to prove himself doing so many quads at Stars on Ice that he's in a fine space now.
We referenced last week that JSF makes them do all these weird press conferences. And he said that his theme for World Team Trophy is like, I would like to not be a disappointment and a burden to everybody. I'm like, smiling and laughing.
Which is the only mood. I know we joke about it, but there is something so relatable about someone who is so, so, so great at what they do. And he's like, I just don't want to let the team down. And I'm like, you know what, buddy? I feel that. And also, you're going to do so great. I'm excited. Yeah. I feel like he's been going after this redemption skate, and maybe it happens at World Team Trophy. I don't know. Maybe it is.
He's been flexing ridiculously hard at his Stars on Ice performances, like full competition layout and then some. And it's like, son,
what are you doing? I mean, I appreciate it. I appreciate it emotionally, because I feel like I would kind of do the same thing on, you know, all levels except physical. But as a person who cares about his well-being, I'm like, your ankle, you're going to need that next season. Like, you're not going to get a new one. And you don't want to end up, like Yuzu, having to rest for a bunch of time because you're being dumb, doing many, many quads, when other people are getting paid the same amount of money and they're just skating around.
Yeah, there are children in Japan who don't have ankles.
But maybe they can read. So, you know, you win some, you lose some. I don't know.
It's true. Maybe Shoma could use that time to finally learn to read.
He's just going to be getting manicures and highlights. It's fine.
Speaking of literacy, let's move on to the poet laureate of the ISU, Vincent Zhou.
I don't have Vincent fever. Someone on Reddit said that they had Vincent fever, which I guess is what you get when you're like suddenly very excited about what he does. It has been hard for me.
If your Vincent fever lasts more than 48 hours, I really do think you should see a medical professional.
It is undeniable that he technically skated really well.
He did.
And he really, really wanted it. I am always concerned about the way his wanting it translates into his performance.
I get like, oh wait, I'm sorry.
That. I'm very that.
That. Very that. I don't know, there's like a thirst to the way he skates that's off-putting.
Yeah, no, it's that. It's like this desperate like wanting to show you something. I just wish he could learn to like connect and communicate this same desire differently, because the T is everyone in this top 10, everyone in this top 15 either does or should have this energy of like, I want to show you what I can do, I want to win this, here's how I'm going to do that. But when he does it, it feels, it's not even inauthentic, it feels...
You'll know what I'm talking about. You know when you're, like, acting and you're doing a scene with someone and they're not listening to you?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, I get that from him even though he's skating alone. It's like he's not listening to something.
Well, he's been allegedly working on his artistic skill and like his performance aspects of what he does, and I feel like he's at the point where, and we've all been there as younger actors, he's at the point where he's learned, you know, he has his script and he's marked, this is where I'm sad, this is where I look away, this is where I sigh, because blah, yeah, blah, blah, like blah, blah. Yeah,
he scored the fuck out of his script, and now he's just not listening to his scene partner.
And now he's just waiting for her, waiting for someone to, like, show up and say their words, and then he's like, oh, she's said blah, 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 so now it's my turn. look away because I'm sad.
It's like he's done every single fucking thing. He's scored the shit out of the script, and then, but he's also that same actor who, like, if he misses his exact cue line, he can't fucking pick it up.
Oh, yeah, and no, and he will demand to go back, and he will make it look like it's part of his process. What I'm saying is, I teach acting, and every single skater should come talk to me.
Yeah, okay, I think I figured out what I'm trying to say.
Yes.
I agree with you that they should take acting classes, and that helped me realize that we talk about this again in acting of, you know, yeah, you've rehearsed it a million times, but everything is happening for the first time in that moment in every performance. And, like, Vincent's feel rehearsed. It doesn't feel like everything's happening for the first time. And you could argue that maybe that's not what skating should be, but, like, that's how I experience most performance.
Yeah.
And
I think it's something
compared to, like, Nathan, I think, or Yuzu, certainly, like, somebody who I consider, like, really good at performing. It really does feel like everything's happening for the first time. And what you talk about of, like, choreographically, like, the next movement just flows organically, inevitably out of the previous one. Vincent feels rehearsed and, like, he's bootstrapping a performance. I don't know. It feels like, I don't believe that it's fully happening in real time.
Even with the emotional, like, performance side of what he does, he still wants to really show you that he's done the work. And with that, you don't want to see the work being done. You just want to see the end result of it. And I feel like that's something that could be fixable if he has the right coach for it, if he has someone who can give him that note, if he cares enough to take that note. I honestly do not think it's a lost cause, but I feel like he has a lot of work to do to get out of this stage where he's kind of just going through the motions of performing emotion. I honestly feel like it could be a breakthrough moment if just one person who kind of gets, maybe in better technical, like, skating terms, what we're trying to say, could give him that note.
Maybe somebody could choreograph him, like Stefan or Misha, or, you know, I don't know. I don't know who it would take to get through to him, but
I've been saying this since Nationals. I'm really not ready to, like, cancel him, but he's been making it very, very hard not to, just because I really want to find something to connect to, and it's getting harder.
I would pay real human money to watch a session of Stefan choreographing Vincent Joe, because Stefan is, like, the handsiest guy on earth, and, like, it's just, like, I love that. It's just, like, the footage of him, like, just fully spooning Shoma, like, with their choreographing.
This is where I'm at with Vincent. I desperately wish there was, like, a real thing that could be done about caring about the off-ice element of performance as much as people care about, you know, going to the gym, going to dance class. I don't know. Take acting. Acting is so good. It helps you understand people.
My old acting teacher and your old comedy teacher, Christine, said that actors are emotional athletes.
I love that. She is so great. I mean, there is also that, I think it's Stanislavski saying that the performance is an action struggling. The actor is an action struggling. I don't know, you can just...
Stanislavski, Konstantinova. That's a great drag character.
What the fuck is Stanislavski's first name? It's not Pyotr, it's one of them.
Konstantin. It is! Oh my god! Stanislava Konstantinova, Konstantin Stanislavski.
Of course he's a Konstantin.
Okay, so let's get back on track here.
So this is...
actually good performers, Yuzuru Hanyu.
Yuzuru Hanyu, even though he's had some trouble this season, health-wise, with his injury, from the second he arrived at Saitama, he just wanted people to know that he was fine. And what that meant was showing off in practice, doing all the things, skating the way he always does.
Now, backtracking a tiny bit.
Yes.
We, believe it or not, have never actually discussed Yuzuru Hanyu, any Yuzuru
on this
Hanyu
podcast.
Program on this podcast.
Holy
not
shit.
Not even on the Lost episode. We have never...
Oh my god.
...recorded audio of us going through Otoñal or Art on Ice.
Can we do that?
Yeah, dude. We've never talked about it, and we have to. It's, like, the thing.
Oh my god. This is insane, because I feel like... He's just such a staple, of course, like, always, you know, two-time Olympic gold medalist, etc. It feels weird that we've never actually talked about him. Yeah.
That fateful day in Rostelecom.
God.
Yeah, so Yuzuru Hanyu injured himself at his second after his second Grand Prix placement and did not compete at the Grand Prix final.
And did not compete at like, Nationals. Anything else after that.
Anything else. Nothing else. So he's been this big mystery. He doesn't have social media. It's been so, like, hush-hush. Like,
well, he has a beauty blog.
Oh, he does have a beauty blog now where he blogs about the world's vaguest topics. Like, good afternoon. My favorite thing about the Earth's atmosphere is air. I love to breathe it. Bye. And that's, like, all of them. All of
it's very, blog. It's, like, quite literally that, essentially.
My favorite
but, yeah.
thing to do at night is sleep, but that's not to say that being awake isn't also.
Bye. Yeah, he's always very, like, mild as well in all of his opinions because he is watched very closely. His fans are very intense. And I say that as one of his fans, but there's this contingent of people who, like you said, kind of either expect him to, you know, crash and burn or see him as this deity who cannot be touched. And neither one of those are technically correct, even though he is an elf prince from
another
planet.
And one of the all-time greats.
He is the greatest of all time. There is very few people who can contest that. And we'll talk about some of them.
I would like to say that in my previous assessment of the, as I have decided to call it, the Japantheon of gods and goddesses.
Yes.
We said that Shoma Uno was a god of chaos. And the reason that his ankle cannot function is because it's too much chaos for too small of a body.
Yes.
And in Yuzu's case, it's, like, too much, like, he's, like, a being of light, and it's, like, too much goodness and light, and his little tiny bird bones just can't support it. It's, like, his mortal body cannot contain his immortal spirit.
It's very that. It's very that.
It's very that. Now, let's talk about the programs a little bit. Now, his programs this year are homages to his two of his idols, Johnny Weir and Evgeny Plushenko.
Which is very sweet. Like, how great is that? I do want to, and I know I'm going to keep doing that because we're going to, spoiler alert, talk about Nathan after that. The amount of incredible sportsmanship at, like, the top tiers of male figure skating is so impressive to me and, like, so inspiring. Like, the fact that Yuzu, who is, as we've said, like, the greatest or, like, one of the greats of all time, can, like, show up and be like, you know what, this entire season is going to be about people and things I respect and admire is so fucking cool to me. Like, there is this tentative line between, like, homage and, like, respect and also, like, this cool, like, ego and, like, knowing yourself of, like, I'm gonna pay homage to those people, but I'm also gonna skate better than both of them. It's great. I'm, like, super into it. I'm super into it.
Yeah, so he picked music that they famously skated to. So the short program is to O'Neill.
Mm-hmm.
By whom? I don't remember.
Fucking one of them.
And it goes... Da, na, 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 na.
I'm gonna pull up my playlist.
Which is just as good as telling you who wrote it, because you can Shazam that.
Do you want to sing for us? My angel
da,
music.
Da, 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 da.
Oh, it's... I will say... It's Raul de Blasio. It's Raul de Blasio.
It's the mayor of New York?
Yes.
Bill de Blasio.
It's his cousin Raul, and I just saw what he looks like. He's incredible. He has long hair and a mustache.
Of course he does.
He's Argentinian.
Because the N has a mustache in Otoñal. That's what makes it the N.
Yeah, it does.
I never took Spanish, so when I see that punctuation mark, to me it is a mustache.
God, I know the name of that, and I can't tell
you. The tilde.
It's not a tilde when it's the... It's an
Enya.
Isn't
it stum that... I think it's... Isn't it called a Nya? Is that not right?
Yeah, it's an Enya. Yes.
An Enya. Like, sail away.
Yes. But anyway, it's Otoñal by Raul de Blasio, who is Argentine.
That music slaps so hard.
It is so beautiful.
It is the perfect elf prince soundtrack. Like, if you were going to make a movie about an elf prince, that would be the music.
And it's so weird because Johnny is... also kind of like a weird elven deity in a very different way. Like, it's it's a different forest. It's a different kind of elf. It's like,
it's more Lord of the Rings elf and less like Barbie elf.
Yeah,
like, I think Yuzu's a more child friendly elf, and Johnny's like a weird, like, not, maybe not even Lord of the Rings, maybe more like Pan's Labyrinth, like something scary about it.
It's like a weird, like unsettling semi villain that queer kids like gravitate towards. But yeah,
it's fucked up that we automatically cast somebody who's like gender, not that he's like officially gender fluid, but that's kind of how he presents as like a villain, but that is kind of how villains are like portrayed.
Yeah, it's a deeper conversation about Western pop culture. But having said that, it's,
as is most things on this podcast, deeper conversations about Western pop culture that we don't have the energy to have.
Yeah, we could, but you gotta buy us a drink first. We'll both take a vodka crayon.
Just one.
Sure. No, we're going to take several.
We'll dip our little paws in it like raccoons.
That's how I drink. I don't know how you drink, but that's how I drink.
That's how I drink everything.
I'm so sorry. I just did that. Like little like raccoon hands. But what I was trying to say when I was still smart about this is that it's so impressive that he could translate the original energy of Johnny's program into something that's so very uniquely his. But it still reads like an homage. It's really, really cool how their different styles like adapt.
What do you think of the costume?
I think it's beautiful. I think no one else in this roster that we've talked about could pull this off. So many ruffles and stones and an extremely deep V neckline. I feel like anyone else wearing this would feel costumey. But because of the way he carries himself and the choreography and the technical skill and the music, I believe it. I feel like this beautiful elven prince could only wear this.
I feel like Yuzu looks like out of character. Like, he looks like he's not himself unless he's wearing something like that.
Yeah.
Like, that's just what he should be wearing. Like, he should wear that at home when he's making pancakes.
I would love to see that.
His dogs that he doesn't have. But he might. I don't know.
Maybe he does. He doesn't have social media. We don't know. Maybe he has seven cats.
No, but on his beauty blog, he said he's a cat person.
Maybe he has seven cats. I don't know. But yeah,
he walks them all in like a big pack in his Otoniel outfit, and then he has to,
can you please draw that for me? I'm begging you. I'll send you reference images of Daniel Radcliffe when he was walking a bunch of dogs.
Oh my god. Amazing.
Yes. Collab. I draw
fan art for my own podcast.
We're gonna put this on the social media for once. We're actually
every time we say we're gonna put something on social media, we don't. So don't hold us to that.
But maybe this one. I don't know. I think he.
What does that mean? What does autumnal mean?
Autumnal. Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought. I just wanted to make sure.
It feels like it, and it bugs my synesthesia. The only thing I will say about this costume is that it bugs my synesthesia that this costume is so aggressively wintertime. And the music's not. And I'm not sure.
Like when people do Four Seasons programs in
Stefan.
Don't fit.
Stefan.
Stefan's costume was like 12 seasons. It was like seasons that they have on Mars. Like instead of spring, summer, winter, they have like tiger, sparkles.
Little velvet snowflake on my thigh.
It's the first day of velvet. That said, should we talk about Art on Ice?
Yes, we should.
Bard on Ice.
Yes.
I like Art on Ice better, and I think that's controversial, because I think Otoniel has become so iconic.
I don't know. I like both of them. I feel like I connect with Art on Ice a little bit more, but I think the choreography is prettier in Otoniel, but there's something about the stakes of and the endurance of Art on Ice that works for me better.
Okay, here's what I will say. I think that by design, Otoniel is supposed to be more a floaty fairy happy prince. And then Art on Ice is supposed to be more like dark prince, like once his family's been slaughtered in the elf wars, now he's gonna really, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
That's what it's supposed to be, and that's what it was toward the beginning of the season. But then Yuzu himself kind of took on that role of like fighter, murderer,
wounded prince overall.
Wounded Prince overall. And so he started bringing that quality to Otoniel, and it doesn't work as well with that choreo.
Oh my god, yeah, you're so right. This is actually a beautiful read of that, and I agree with that.
Oh my god, thank you. I'm so proud of
Also, especially at Worlds, I feel like because Otoniel was like the first thing we got to see from him, and because there had been this conversation of like, you know, we expect him to be flawless, but also we don't know where he's been at. He's so private, and there's only so much his team can tell us, blah, blah, blah. The stakes were already so, so high, and there was so much drama accompanying it that it would have been impossible to, like, detach from that and just see beautiful Prince.
Yeah, not to mention, we haven't even talked yet about the fact that he popped his quad cell, yeah, and it became a double, and he didn't get any points for it, and he did that right off the bat. So the rest of the program, he knew that in, yeah, his head. And so, of course, he had murder face comeback,
yeah,
serious business time.
I mean, he had had that murder face since, like, practices. He basically, yeah, had that murder face for the entirety of the event. But it was such a jarring moment, and I don't want to catastrophize it, because he ended up fine, but I feel like all of us were like, oh my god, here we go, it's Ateneo, and it's the music's going, and he looks beautiful, and then he doubles the quad, and I feel like there was just, like, a collective, like, what just happened? Because I feel like we'd all, like, speculated it might happen, and I had not visualized that. I have not seen him do a double, ever, maybe. I don't, yeah, know. Maybe in, like, footage of him when he was a tiny baby. It was jarring, and it was weird because it's not such a huge deal in the grand scheme of things, but it felt so big.
Yeah, and I think if you don't know a ton about skating, it's the kind of mistake that you would assume that a guy at Yuzu's level wouldn't make.
Yeah.
Because it looks like a very easy thing to fix. Like, what do you mean? Don't you know whether you're going to do a double or a quad? And I don't even really know enough to tell you exactly what causes that, but my understanding is that it's almost like, you don't get your right edge or something?
Yeah, like, it's about, just, like, the edges, and it's about the force that you put into the takeoff. It could be literally just about, like, the tiniest difference in the amount of speed he had going into it. It's, it could be so, like, many things.
He hit a weird square inch of,
yeah,
ice.
Yeah, like, it could be so many things.
That you can't prepare for. So really, it could happen to anybody. It happened to user on you.
And after that, he came back so strong because his triple axel was next, and he, like, it was a statement. And it was, honestly, I don't like seeing failure from people I expect to not fail me, but it was so fucking fantastic to see him fight through the rest of it, because he was like, nah, we're not doing this. Because I've said it before, there's people who would let that first failure, like the first pop jump, like, be the end of it, and he was like, nah, we still have, like, 2.5 more minutes, so here's the rest of this. And the rest of it was impeccable. It was so good.
Yeah, and he still finished third in the short, so yeah. I mean, he knew that if he gave his all for the rest of it, it would be enough to still, you know, be in, yeah, the running. And of course he was. His free skate was flawless, and he executed
impeccable, a quad just loop, beautiful,
which, yeah, he's the only guy who's done that, right?
And he lost it for a little bit, and he got it back, so that's, yeah,
he lost it and got it back. And I think it's honestly stunning to behold. And then after that, it was flawless, and I love Art on Ice. It's,
well,
it's a soundscape to start.
According to the protocol, he did under rotate his quad cell, but it happened in the free.
Oh, yeah.
He technically under-rotated it, but he still got some of the points for it.
Yeah, and we should talk about this costume. This is one of my...
Oh, his Tomoki Hiwatashi costume?
Yeah, but the difference is Tomoki Hiwatashi's costume is black and gold, and Yuzuru Hanyu's costume looks black and gold, but then you look closer and you realize that it's like when you zoom in on a microscope and you realize that it has texture and it has color. Yeah. It's like red and blue and purple, and it's like... Like, you know how, like, every color together makes black? It's like,
yeah,
that's happening in real time on that costume, and it's like mind blowing. It's
like, it's so gorgeous.
I look, you know, when people talk about, like, impossible colors, or like, mm-hmm, the color from Out of Space by H.P. Lovecraft, like colors that we can't imagine.
Yeah.
Like, I think about, like, Yuzuru Hanyu's shirt.
Well, it checks out because he's not human. I'm curious to see, looking ahead, what he would pick next season, because, first of all, he could keep them because he barely got to skate them, but I feel like they've, yeah, I feel like they're so tied to this season that maybe he wouldn't want to. Maybe, but, for something
oh
else.
Oh my god, pause. There's a weird bug. I gotta go kill that.
Okay.
What the fuck are you? Oh no, I don't like that. Oh! Oh! Oh no. Gross. All right, it was a big spider, but it's dead now.
Beautiful. F, rest in peace.
F, I know, I'm sorry. I know on Punch at the Jam they had the whole thing of spiders or people, but I'm sorry.
No, no, this one is not. We're not going to tell Bo Yang it's fine.
Okay, but here's the thing. He's absolutely, I mean, he's kind of the king of changing around layouts anyway. I mean, yeah. Every single time we've seen Art on Ice this season, it's a different fucking layout for one reason or another. But he's, as we will get to in a second, he's like, even if I had skated perfectly mathematically, and this is true, he could not have caught Nathan because he doesn't have those really, really hard jumps. He doesn't have a quad flip or a quad lutz.
Yeah.
And thus, he can't compete with him or, like, even Shoma in some ways. So...
yeah.
He's absolutely got to be upping his technical content. And so if he brings these back, in order for them to be competitive, especially Otoniel, he's going to have to...
just something else.
Ratchet it up a little bit.
Have a quad lutz in there, basically, is what it boils down to. Yeah, I hope he takes care of himself first. And he seems to be very smart about, like, following doctor's orders and taking care of himself, unlike Shoma. So I'm going
to
be curious.
We don't know what Shoma's doctor's orders were, though, to be
fair. Yeah, we don't. But we know his ankle is not great, and we know he's been doing quads at fucking ice shows. So I'm not happy with him. But, yeah. I think this was a great... I don't want to call it a comeback, because he hasn't been...
Don't call it a comeback!
That. I think...
I love it when I rap. I miss... like, joyful, cheerful, fun Yuzu. And
me
I know
too.
Part of that is that we just haven't seen him at too many galas. But, I don't know. I just feel like the reason that he's got such a fan following, aside from just being so stunning to watch, is because he's one of those Jason Brown types that's just a ray of sunshine.
Yeah.
And this season, when we have seen him at all, he's just been so... when he hasn't been shrouded in mystery and, you know, we don't know if he's in the country, where is he? He just seems so dour. He looks like he's aged. Like, I just... and, you know, part of that is, like, you know, just being 24, 25 kind of hits you like a brick. But it just, I just miss his smile. I miss him, like, being excited. But it seems like he's getting his fire back, which we'll get to in a minute.
I wonder if a part of this has been, like, what I keep coming back to, like, the stakes of, you know, getting hurt
grief.
And, like, the Javi grief. I mean, I know that aged me.
It's in the DSM, Javi grief. It's in there.
No, but, like, in all seriousness... it just because of the mystery and because of the stakes of every single time he skated out after Ross Telecom, which is just Worlds. I feel like that took away a part of his, like, humanity, because we were just watching for, like, flawless self prince who's out there to prove himself. And I hope that now that he's done that, he can come back to, you know, flawless self prince who smiles sometimes.
Before we go to Nathan, let's do a mini game. Okay. Do you know what sound this is?
No. You're opening something up. Yeah, you're opening something up.
I just feel like this is an iconic noise, but maybe it's not.
I don't know, it just sounds crinkly. What is it?
It's a Rubik's Cube.
Okay, let's talk about Nathan Chen.
Oh, Nathan.
So much. This is fun because we're not gonna do, like, step-by-step of those programs, because we have several times. But it's fun because you're more of a caravan person, and I'm so much more of a Land of Old kind of person. So this is interesting.
In general, I'm not a caravan person, but I just love this particular... like, in general, I love a moody, expressive, lyrical skate to an indie song, and I'm not as much of a, like, jazz, brass kind of a lady. But when Nathan Chen does that particular version of Caravan, I just go the fuck off. It's, like, my favorite program of
the
season.
It is so very joyful. It is so, so very joyful.
I mean, he did both of them flawlessly.
Yeah.
I don't really know. Well, not flawlessly. I mean, his landings and jumps were dicey, but he did land them all.
Yeah, he had to fight for some of them. But
no major crazy catastrophic issues. And, like, we have been saying since, you know, U.S. Nationals, he hadn't done a really, really good caravan in international competition. And so, you know, he comes out and does it, and it's, you know, bananas amazing.
And
Nathan
after
got
this,
a new world record, but I forget what the world record is. It's not the free skate. Is it the total score?
It's the total score. And it's funny because Yuzu, I think Yuzu, like, had it for, like, a second.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. And then Yuzu, like, I think it was his before that. I'm don't fact check me on this because I don't know. And those records, like we've said before, change so often. But I feel like it was one of those where it, like, switched around really quick. I want to do this. And if we have any fun news out there, high, but I'm going to do this. I want to talk about math, which is weird.
He's undefeated in international competition this season and national, but...
Before I do math, I was, like I said, I watched this with the BSP commentary at first, and it was so funny. During his free skate, he was, you know, killing it, and it's gorgeous. And after that, during the highlights, one of them, I think it was Simon, but I'm not sure, one of them was like, this was supposed to be his, like, half season, because, you know, he was going to school and stuff, and they were like, he was supposed to be half training this season, what's going on? I'm like, he's just really good.
Oh, gosh. So while you were telling that story, I looked it up, and Yuzu actually, because it's so funny, so much of who gets to be at what and who gets to make what record is also dependent on the completely random skate order a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Like, if two people have a quad flip and then one of them gets to go first, they're the first guy who landed a quad flip.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So in this particular case, it's a similar thing where, and I'm actually happy that Yuzu got this because, you know, whatever. You're right. He did break the world record, and then... Nathan broke it immediately after or whenever he skated after.
Mm-hmm.
But also Yuzu is the first skater to score above 300.
Mm-hmm.
And then Nathan did, he scored like 323 or something.
Yeah.
And, whereas, you know, Yuzu skated so like 300.97, but it's nice that even though it's arbitrary and Nathan would have anyway, that Yuzu gets to say he's the first one, you know what I mean?
Cause
at the end of the day.
Yeah. And it's a nice, like, great, like, gradual build.
No one will remember.
Yeah.
With a skate order at Worlds 2019. They'll remember that Yuzu was the first skater to break 300.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It all feels like so recent now. And I'm sure like a couple, like, in September, we're going to be like, I don't know, it all happened. I do want to say about math, there was the GIF of Yuzu doing his quad sal at, I want to say, whichever one went better. But yeah, there was a GIF of him doing his Ateneo quad sal and, like, doing it well with, like, his plus 4 point something GOE. And I retweeted it, and you were like, imagine if he'd done that at Worlds. And I did. And I want to read out this math just for posterity, just so we can know. If he had landed the quad sal with the positive GOE that he got with the exact numbers that he got at Thrust Telecom when he did that, that would add 14 points to his short program, which would bring him up to 108.87 for his short, and he would win it. He would win the short program with, like, 1.47 above Nathan. But even then, if they both skated the way they skated their free skates, he would end up 8.45 points below Nathan, just because Nathan's lead after the short was pretty undeniable. So it wasn't even down to the quad sal. And honestly, there's a lot of people on the internet who wanna blame it, I guess, on a GOE, on PCS, on a global conspiracy, on what have you. But in interviews after that and before that, Yuzu has himself said that he knew that even if he skated his absolute cleanest best, he might not have won. And that's okay. That's my soapbox moment. I'm done.
You can have your opinion on whether Nathan's a better skater or Yuzu's a better skater, because at the end of the day, the criteria for that are maybe different for different people, mm-hmm. or more subjective for some people than other people. But what we can't argue with is that elements of a program are assigned a numerical value, and the total possible best that Yuzu could have gotten was not going to ever be good enough to beat what Nathan had planned.
Just on the topic of Nathan and his skill as a skater, I guess. I know we're not going step by step in his programs, but I just want to say that there is something so magical about the instrumental break in Land of Ol when he's done with all of the big jumping passes, and it's just this gorgeous choreography. And I know I've talked about it several times, but it was really, really so, so beautiful during Worlds, because I feel like that was the moment when he knew a little bit, perhaps, that he defended his title, that was it. And he just went off, and it was so gorgeous.
Part of the reason it worked too is that his very last jumping pass is right before that, and he just hung on, and it was like a real fight to stay upright on that jump.
And then he transitioned and he brought that energy of fighting right into the choreography. And so it was like seamless, and it almost like kicked him off a little extra energy into that. It was like the right mood to bring into that. Like we talked earlier about maybe Yuzu bringing in like the wrong mood into his last step sequence in Otonyal. But that fighting kind of like murder face.
It was energy was so great. Right
mood for Nathan at the end of Land of All in that case.
Yeah, so yeah. And the choreography itself is so beautiful. There's like all of those like weird wrist movements that like really work for me. I personally like he really, really like, connect to his like weird contemporary like angst. It like really works for me. Yeah, that's all I have to say about it.
I love that. No, I completely agree with you. I like a choreographic sequence that's something different. I mean, I also love a choreographic sequence that's not something different and it's just spread eagles and you know, all the good things we love.
Yeah.
But I think it's interesting when it's interpreted in a different way, especially for a skater like Nathan who has a little bit of a quirky style. And I like his little kind of like popping and locking like version of it reminds me, I don't mean this is a bad thing, but like, you know, Napoleon Dynamite when they're like doing the sign language dance and they do like the bird arms. Look like that.
a little bit. But yeah, that's kind of all I have to say about this. I also want to tell people, if anyone's like pressed about our opinions, it is very much okay to like both of them. Like,
oh, I love both of them.
I adore both of them. I would have been happy either way. I was prepared to see it go either way. I was prepared to see Shoma win as well, which tragically did not happen.
I would have been happy with any result save for maybe Vincent Gold.
Vincent Gold was like the only thing where out of bad questions. But yeah, it is okay to like people. It is okay to like more than one person. It actually makes your engagement with the sport so much more fun if you let yourself enjoy things.
That's true.
Yeah, that's all I have to say about that. All right.
And if someone disagrees with you, it doesn't mean that
they're a horrible person. It's also not about like your intelligence or your style or they're judging you. It's just you see the world in different ways and that makes things exciting.
There are times when people will say things to you like, it's okay to disagree. Why can't we just agree to disagree or like have different opinions? And there are times when people say that about things like gay rights and politics and things that those aren't opinions. Those are
human like, rights.
Human rights. That's not good advice in that case, but this is a time when that advice is good because it's about sport.
Having a favorite skater that's different from your best friend's favorite skater is not a life or death kind of thing. I feel
that's
like
an example of something that you can disagree about and still be friends
deeply. Fight about it over a beer. Okay, this concludes the coverage of the competition part of Worlds for the boys. It's done. It's not the podium I expected. It's not like the top 10 I expected, which goes to show that the sport is changing and things are happening and it's exciting and it's great. And we get to see like half those people next week. So not saying goodbye to the season yet. Like we said last episode, plushies were fucking boring at Worlds. Just bad. Capitalism killed plushies, except for, of course, the reign of Winnie the Pooh after Yuzu.
Yeah, you say if you say Reign of Pooh, it's
yeah. That's why I said something. That's why I said I know, the Reign I've of Winnie.
I heard you make that, but I'm still gonna make the poop joke. But this is actually interesting. Is that Raph in that same interview that we cited last week, where he talked about the Mariah and Sue thing, talked about what it's like to skate after Yuzu and how it's not just like a oh haha, I have to wait and like get showered with Pooh. It's He described it as like psychological warfare, which I think is so funny. But also just from a tactical perspective, which didn't really occur to me, but which is true, is that all the little sweepers, the little babies and that come out and pick up all the stuffed animals, create a lot of snow.
Because
they like, you know, they slow down before they get off the ice like any normal human would do. So then it's like a rougher surface.
Yeah.
Right. To skate on. And so he had to make like a special request to like have things like retouched before Nathan got on. And they like actually apparently they actually did it. They actually like went and like made sure that all the snow got swept away, which is good. I'm glad.
Which is fair. Yeah. That makes sense. But it's funny because Raph is like so so high stakes about it. Meanwhile, Nathan, I think in the press conference, was like, it's actually super incredible to see that happen. And it's, you know.
He's like, it's a sight to behold.
Yeah, he's like, this is so great. And then the funny thing is, I'm complaining about like the VIP plushie throwing section, but it's actually good because he was like, because it was only on one side, I had somewhere to warm up. But it is incredible, and it's one of those things that I personally like show people, like if someone who doesn't know figure skating asks about it for some reason, one of the like fun quirky things you can show them is like one of those like incredible images of like Yuzu and just like yellow and red like everywhere.
Yeah.
That's like the only plushies we got, which is insane. But it was good. It was psychological warfare.
It would have been wild if we didn't get them.
Yeah, I would be so upset. But I feel like it was Japan, and it was Worlds, and it was him. So we would have gotten them either way, but people would have gotten, like, arrested if they weren't allowed to. I don't know. Social media? So much is happening.
Something, like, the figure skating fandom this week was rabid and angry and pressed about, like, so many things. And, like, I feel like it ultimately, I don't know, I think it started with the Eric Radford thing, right?
Yeah.
And kind of snowballed from there. So yeah. Eric Radford was just elected to the athletes commission of the ISU. It was like him and Misha Ge were like campaigning for it, and sadly our boy Misha lost, but Eric Radford's great too. And he, I don't know what that person does, like
I don't know, I don't understand, like the politics
rep? Like I don't,
yeah,
I don't
kind of do, I feel like, yeah, kind of, they're the key student. I don't know, I'm not sure.
Yeah, so he just like made a statement in some like live chat that he was doing with Ashley Wagner, and it was like, oh yeah, like, you know, PCS, things like skating skills and transitions, they're just subjective. It's just how it is. It's not.
Yeah.
And
people got very pressed about it. Yeah.
Because I think people have been upset about the fact that it, really these do seem like quantifiable things that could be standardized and it would make it more fair. And he's arguing that it's okay that it's so subjective. And so in a lot of people's eyes, and I kind of think maybe even in my eyes, I'm not exactly sure how I feel, but
there's
an argument,
like,
to be made that it's he's just trying to justify something that's,
yeah,
chemically unfair.
I feel like unless you get rid of PCS entirely and GOEs entirely, and you only score based on, like, say a jump or a spin has a value that's assigned to it that's based on, say a jump is how high it goes, how many rotations, how far it travels, how fast it happens, etc. Those are all things that, as we've seen from those cool graphics that they did at Worlds, a machine can calculate. And if it's only that, and if it's just computer scoring those things, we could have it be perfectly even for everyone. The second you get human beings involved, there is always going to be, even subconsciously, an element of this decision making, because that's what humans do. And we can't make figure skating a debate on man versus machine. Like, it can't be that.
Maybe that's why I like figure skating, is because that's my whole deal as a sci-fi writer who loves machine versus man narratives. But I don't think that's the case.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I don't actually think the issue with the scoring system is the fact that any aspect of it is subjective, because as you so beautifully put, of course it's subjective. I think the issue with it is that the PCS points are, for some weird reason, very much scaled to TES, when I think they, yeah, should just be completely unrelated. Otherwise, yeah, why would you have them be separate categories if,
yeah,
you're going to make them the same?
Yeah, I agree. I think we talked about that a little bit last week, and that's...
We did.
With how limited my experience... I've never been on a technical panel. I'll never be on a technical panel. All I've done is what a lot of angry people on Twitter did, which is read the technical handbook. But that doesn't make me qualified in any way, shape, or form. So I can't really, like, begin to have this argument, like, in an educated way. But as a personal human being, I will say that it is possible to, like, skate out gorgeously and, like, in a dramatic way that people connect to and, like, cry about while jumping doubles. And those could be two completely separate things. And they should be.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. It's all I have. I don't know.
Yeah. But people took the Eric Radford comment, and I didn't watch the live chat with him Ashley. So I don't know exactly how going from, like, point A of that to point B of the Nathan versus Yuzu debate. but that's where it was taken. And there was like accusations that Nathan is like an artless skater, which is not really true. He just has a different style than you do. And you maybe prefer one or the other, or maybe you like both. I like both. I think that they're different styles and can't be compared. If they can be compared, I wouldn't want to live in a world where you have one and not the other. I think that's the point of different styles.
Agreed.
Yeah, not only that, but Nathan and Yuzu in their press conference especially were so, like, effusively praising one another. And
it was fantastic.
Nathan is very – he's smart, and but I do believe it's genuine to be in the country of Yuzu and to be in the presence of someone so great that he, of course, paid all the deference to him, and constantly the first thing out of his mouth was always, you know, well, you know.
Honored to be here.
Honored to be here. Everybody has off days. We never know how it would have gone on a different day. It's an absolute honor to skate with him. I look up to him. And Yuzu also had nothing but wonderful things to say about Nathan. And he released a statement after where he's like, I had lost my purpose and now I feel like I have a purpose again. Like, I need a rivalry to fuel me on. And basically, he's like rock hard about having somebody to be a rival now that
imagine being so good at something, anything, that there is only one person in the world where you can literally like look at them and be like, yeah, this seems like it could be a challenge. This like feeling of like, I perform better when he's in this room because he's the only person who can give me a run for my money is such a fascinating dynamic. And I really love that. I think that that's why.
I feel bad for Shoma a little bit.
Yeah.
I feel like if Shoma was a little more consistent and a little less hurt,
he would could be, yeah. be
up there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's no, he has better jump. I mean, I don't know if better, but harder jumps than Yuzu. And I thought about like the jealous girlfriend meme. Yuzu's like looking at Nathan like, ooh, and Shoma's like,
oh. That's funny. I'm also thinking about Tomoki's interview with the ISU where he's like, it's always been Nathan and Vincent who are like the same age and they're always slightly ahead. And, you know, I want to be in that room, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
He's about to be in the room where it happens.
He is. Yeah, I was going to say that. Wait, I have this very important note here. You had to tell me about the new embarrassing thing you did.
Oh, I commented on Alishka Brzezinova's photo of her and Mick, and I wrote, Brozinas!
I saw that. I actually saw that, and it's incredible.
No one liked it.
I don't know why I didn't like it. I should go back and like it.
I want them to like it, but whatever. Dmitry Aliyev posted a thirst trap with his Pomeranian.
Which is honestly the only valid way to post a thirst trap is if there is an adorable puppy in it. The dog is also kind of cute.
Also, something that happened, which is very cool, is adult nationals happened, and they were in Salt Lake City, which is Nathan Chen's hometown, so he made an appearance, and that's really cool of him because as adult skating has become a little more popular and mainstream over the past few years with like Jonathan Van Ness and the two of us, and that's the only three people who have been
Broadway. There's I don't know if you know her, there's a Broadway actress, Leslie Margarita. She was the mom in Matilda and a bunch of other stuff. Huh. She's also started skating, and she's also skating at the Chelsea Piers Club. Like, it's happening. Did you see that video? I retweeted it, of like a little boy who I think is like a young skater. It's his parents filmed him in the stalls when he noticed Nathan.
No!
It is very cute. Crazy. Someone said, oh my god, Nathan's there or something. He turns around and his face like fully changes and he like loses his shit. It's so cute. I'm gonna make you look at it when we're done recording. It's so cute. Yeah, I think it was really cool that he was there. And also, it's so inspiring and motivating to see, like, all of the adult skaters' stories. And some of them are, like, very, very old. And, you know, people in their, like, 70s who are, like, just starting. Or, like, I think the oldest competitor was a woman who's, like, 85.
For the first time ever in the history of adult nationals, a woman landed a triple.
Which is incredible. Okay, so next week we're gonna do kind of a free-for-all episode in which we're gonna talk about the gala at Worlds, just because a lot of things happened, World Team Trophy, and it's going to be great. We've been talking so much about points and about how they're made up, but here's the deal. iTunes also has a 5-point system, much like grade of execution points. So go ahead and give us plus 5. We will not settle for less. But in all seriousness, giving us 5 stars on iTunes makes our life so much easier. It makes us easier to find, so other people can see us or hear us talking about things. Who are we? Where do you find us on the internet?
You may find me at Megan Kelleher at Twitter. I am also there on Instagram for those sweet cat pictures and those sweet, embarrassing Brigitte of a sibling comments. Where can they find you, Netta?
They can find me on Twitter, where Jason Brown recently liked a tweet that I posted about drinking in his honor. And that's at Netta Marie. And that is NEDA, and then Marie, like Marie Laveau. And also the same on Instagram. And you can join the ranks of people such as Benoit Rochelle and the official Idea Instagram who follow me. I posted a lot of hands today because I went to a village and I met a bunch of birds. So if you want to go see that, it's on Instagram. And if you want to find both of us, we are at iceteapod on Instagram and Twitter. You can also find us iceteapod.com if you want to read about who we are. And if you have a strongly worded letter that you want to send us, you can do that at iceteapodcast@gmail.com. I think that's all of it.
Tell us how shrill we are. We love it.
Thank you for listening. Good night.
Have a wonderful week. We'll talk to you next week. Bye. Bye.